Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anything Cristiano can do, Jovino can too. Mihailovic's Bologna send the Nerazzurri into freefall. Donnarumma's heroics earn Milan a draw in the Eternal City, and Napoli halt Quagliarella's hot streak. All of that and much more in this week's edition of Simply Serie A. Hello and welcome back to the Simply Serie A podcast with me, Harry Simeou. Before we delve into this week's featured games and before I introduce you to this week's panel, let's round up the results from week 22. Cagliari 0, Atalanta 1. Atalanta sit just 1 point off of the UEFA Champions League positions now. Empoli 2, Chievo 2. Empoli having come from 2 goals down there. Frosinone 0, Lazio 1. Felipe Caicedo's goal, the difference there. Genoa 1, Sassuolo 1. Sanabria scoring on his Genoa debut to salvage a point for Prandelli's side. Inter 0, Bologna 1. Juventus 3, Parma 3. Napoli 3, Sampdoria 0, Roma 1, Milan 1, Spal 0, Torino 0, and Udinese 1, Fiorentina 1. On this week's panel, Tommy Milanese from 90minute.com. Tommy, welcome to Simply Serie A. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, very good, man. My pleasure to be here. How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. It's cold, but we're in England. We should be used to that by now, right?
yeah.
Also joining me is Mr. Vittorio Campanile from the Lazio Lounge podcast. Vittorio, welcome. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure is all ours, my friend, I can assure you. Right, we're going to start at the Allianz Stadium, where we were treated to a 6-goal thriller between league leaders Juventus and Parma. It ended 3-3. Juve, of course, came into this one having suffered a heavy defeat at the hands of Atalanta in the Coppa during the week. They were without Chiellini, Bonucci and Barzagli. And Tommy, it really showed, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. First of all, what a game that was. I had the pleasure to watch it live, and it was such a great game. No one saw coming what happened in the last 20 minutes. Parma was playing as they usually play with big teams, so, you know, with a low defense, not too much pressure on the strikers, and playing on counter-attack. And, yeah, that happened in the end. Crazy.
Incredible game, wasn't it? And Juve did take a 2-0 lead through Ronaldo and Rugani. Parma managed to pull one back through Antonino Barilla on 64. But when Ronaldo restored the lead to 2 goals just a couple of minutes later, you could be forgiven for thinking that Parma were dead and buried, right, Vittorio?
Yes, I thought that was the end of the match, honestly. To be To be honest, Juventus struggled also in the other matches. They lost against Atalanta in Coppa Italia. They win against Lazio, but didn't deserve to win there. So I was a little bit concerned because, as Tommy was saying, Parma played really well against big teams. So I thought this could be a tricky match for Juventus. But after the second goal of Cristiano Ronaldo, I said, okay, this is over. And I was really astonishing to see Parma recovering that match, honestly.
I mean, as well, you know, Gervinho, a player who I remember from his time at Arsenal, being an Arsenal supporter, he's somebody that I describe as a bit of a nuisance, a pest, but often, you know, he fails to deliver end product. But I thought he had a really decent spell back when he was with Roma after having left London. He then went off to China and he's now come back to Serie A. What sort of impact has he had, Tommy, since he's arrived back in the peninsula?
Well, incredible, I would say. I think not many people expected that. You know, when he went to China, a lot of people thought that he was over, you know, was just a... But in the end, he's only 31 years old. So I think it was a great choice for him to come back to the Serie A and still play competitively. And it's showing how good he is, and his pace is still unbelievable. And, I mean, I remember a quote from Francesco Totti a few years ago when they used to play together, and he said, if he would score as well, he would be like Cristiano Ronaldo. So, I mean, that says it all, does it?
That's right. He is a player that's got bags of pace, as you said. He's a good dribbler. And he showed all of that in the Premier League as well, to be fair. But it was just that end product was missing more often than not. But he scored 8 goals in 16 appearances now for Parma. Vittorio, what have you made of Gervinho's return to Serie A?
Yeah, as Tommy was saying, even at Roma he played very well, but he misses so many chances. It looks like now he's back, he's more calm. He's taking all the chances he's having with Parma. And the surprise was, if you see the goals he scored against Juventus, it's not the typical Gervinho's goal. It's not speed burning the defender. No, it was, you know, he was in the box and he takes his chances and he scored. And usually, even with Roma, where he was really a threat, but he was missing too many wide chances. Instead, with Parma, maybe experience, I don't know, but he's taking all the chances he's having. And so he's really dangerous now. And I think Parma with Gervinho, with all these players, it's a tough team to play against now.
Yeah, absolutely. And Parma sit in 12th place, don't they, at the moment? They've just been promoted back to Serie A after all sorts of financial problems and things like that. Tommy, what have you made of their season so far? Is it a season that they should be pleased with? Surely the goal was just to stay in the division this year, no?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Parma, I think, is one of the biggest underdogs this year. They are doing well, and I think everyone really enjoys to see them playing. Well, yeah, as Vittorio was saying, they have a great squad. Roberto Inglese, you know, the striker up front. I don't know. I think he had quite a lot of pressure because, you know, he came from Napoli, then it was on loan on Chievo. Like, it's that kind of player that people know they have potential and they keep saying it, but then he hasn't really shown yet. I mean, he's very young, but he hasn't really shown. But he's actually doing it this year. And yeah, he showed on in the game with Juve. I mean, he didn't score, but he was incredible, especially in the last bit, especially in the last goal when he was very quick to get the ball back after that little, you know, tricky pass from Mandzukic. And yeah, just serve in the middle and see Gervinho. So, I mean, and then Biani as well. I mean, he's not playing as well as Gervinho, but their front three is definitely one of the best in the league, I would say.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's been a week to forget for Allegri's side, hasn't it? But in terms of the title race, Vittorio, it won't make all that much difference, will it? They still got a healthy 9-point lead over Napoli in second. But what the Coppa defeat means is that they cannot do the treble and match what Inter did back in 2010. Do you think Juventus will be bothered about that? Do you think it bothers them that Inter have achieved that and they, you know, despite their dominance in the last few years, that has eluded them?
I think it does. These type of teams and players like Cristiano Ronaldo, for example, they want to win every single match they play. So for them, it's a huge disappointment going out surly in the Coppa Italia. They reached the final in the past years all the time. So it's a big disappointment for that. And we have to say that Atalanta probably is the best team now in Serie A. They're playing amazing football. If you forget Cagliari Atalanta, where they didn't play that well but still they won, they are playing amazing football, and it's unbelievable seeing the squad. But on the other side, you can see there are some concerns, because Juventus, for me, made terrible mistake letting Benatia leave like that and replacing him with Casares. So I don't know if this will affect the Champions League chances of winning it. We'll see. But yeah, I'm a little bit surprised about the Juventus movement this winter.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's move on now to Inter 0, Bologna 1. Inter are in free fall. In recent weeks, they've been held to a draw by their bogey team, Sassuolo, suffered defeat at the hands of Torino, crashed out of the Coppa on penalties courtesy of Lazio, and the latest disappointment came on Sunday when they lost at home to Bologna. Now, this was, incidentally, Sinisa Mihailovic's first game as Bologna coach following the recent sacking of Pippo Inzaghi, but the Serb wasn't going to do his former club any favours. First of all, before we get into Inter, Tommy, is that the end of Pippo Inzaghi as a Serie A manager, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I'm sure he will have another chance in the future, but I think at this point he needs to take maybe a little break and maybe start from a bit lower, maybe a team in Serie B. Like, he was doing quite well last year with Venezia.
Yeah.
He proved that he's a great player, but being a great player doesn't necessarily mean to be a great manager. And it's quite funny that his brother Simone Inzaghi was nowhere near him on the pitch, but now as a manager, he's actually doing very well. So yeah, I think it would be good for him to take a little time off and then start again with a new project in the summer, maybe from lower division, and then bring him to Serie A and then stay with them, a few years and prove that he's actually a good manager and gain some experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I was a kid, Inzaghi was one of my heroes. And it is horrible to see your heroes fail at management. But I've had to watch Thierry Henry fail at management in Monaco lately as well. So it's not been easy. It's not been easy. Vittorio, your thoughts on Pippo Inzaghi? Is there any way back for him? Because he seems like his record is a little tarnished now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And as Tommy was saying, you started from the other leagues, but he already did that. He had quite a success with Venezia, even though the first season he struggled a little bit. I think he's overrated. And if you see the managing career of the brothers Inzaghi, he got promoted from the Primavera to the first squad like 1 year and a half earlier than Simone. And I thought that could have made a huge difference. If you remember the first interviews Simone Inzaghi had when he became Lazio manager, he said that those years as Primavera manager helped him a lot to become a better coach. And I think that's what's missing with Filippo Inzaghi. Same thing, I thought there were too much pressure on that Milan squad to give Inzaghi a chance earlier than he deserved to.
Yeah, that's
right. I don't know. I mean, it could be very late now for him to improve, even because he failed in so many different clubs. It's not that, you say, well, that Milan was terrible, no one would have made it. No, he tried with Bologna, Venezia, and so on.
Yeah.
So will he have other chances? Yes, probably. The name is so big that he will find another squad, another president that will give him a chance. Will he succeed? I'm not sure about that. I don't think.
Yeah, I have to agree. Tommy, what's gone wrong at Inter of late then? Because, as I said when I introduced this section, they're in free fall at the moment. The press are having a field day. Spalletti's coming under fire. What's gone wrong at the San Siro?
Well, I think there's quite a lot of things that are wrong with Inter at the moment. First of all, from the manager, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Spalletti. I never have. But I mean, he is a good manager, but the way he plays with this 4-2-3-1, which is, in my memory, is one of the first I've seen using this kind of formation with Roma back in the days. But with this formation that he uses, I don't think he has the right man at the right time. For example, their kind of CAM role now is Nainggolan, which is a player that I really like. I used to love him at Roma. I thought he was incredible. But since he came, he never had a good feeling with the fans. Even if you're a good player, it doesn't mean that you're going to play well. You need to be good psychologically, and he hasn't been since he joined. And then in the wingers, you have someone like Perisic, which in my opinion is one of the best wingers in the league. But after the World Cup that he had, I mean, it was very hard to recover. And then, you know, Politano is a great youngster, but I don't think he's enough, really. Kandreva, I think, is way too old now and slow. I don't think they really have the right man. And the man up front, the captain, Mauro Icardi, I think is amazing. But at the moment, I think that all the media pressure that his wife is putting on him is not helping at all. You know, all these messages on Instagram, on Twitter, is it going, is it not? You know, we're dealing with the contract, we're not. I don't think it's helping at all. So the fans are not happy. And I mean, a lot of them also want Spalletti out already. They want to leave the team to Cambiasso.
Yeah.
Until obviously they can get Conte next year. I mean, that's everyone's dream at Inter, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. And obviously, you mentioned Ivan Perisic there. There was a lot of talk about him handing in a transfer request. Vittorio, your thoughts on Inter? Because as Tommy's already told us, you know, there's lots of problems there. What are your feelings on it?
I think Spalletti is a good manager, but I got the impression that since the last year with Roma, he's not able to cope with the pressure anymore. He's living life really badly. He's not able to cope with the pressure that a manager of a big team has. You can see in the last year with Roma, where he's been working there for a long and with success, he wasn't able to keep the players together. I thought he lost the players, and the impression is that he's doing the same here with Inter. And I think Inter, if you consider all the teams that are fighting for the Champions League spot, I think Inter is by far the best team. They have a lot of players, a lot of options. You can say that probably the only spot they're missing is they don't have a real replacement for Icardi. But they are probably the better team compared to Milan, Roma, Lazio, Atalanta, Sampdoria, and Fiorentina. But now they're struggling. And I think that Spalletti is having even problem with the club. The what he said about Perisic after, I think it was before Lazio's match in Coppa Italia, didn't make sense. Saying that the club shouldn't say that Perisic asked to leave the club because that's putting pressure on him and on the manager. Don't say it. I mean, don't say publicly that you are against what the club is saying. You're just creating more problems that you don't need. So I think Inter is still favorite for the Champions League spot, but if the problems continue, if really Spalletti continue to have this fight with the players and with the club, then the situation can get dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely. And Marotta's come in there, hasn't he, from Juventus, and he said today that he's never sacked a coach, but that the Champions League is decisive for Luciano Spalletti. So it's pretty clear that if Spalletti doesn't again qualify for the Champions League, he'll be given his marching orders. So, I mean, I guess we all agree that Spalletti is not the man to guide Inter back towards some sort of title challenge to make them the team that take on Juventus and eventually topple them. The thing is, for me, you know, I know I keep going back to the Perisic point, and there was a lot of coverage of that here in the UK because of the fact that he was linked with my club, Arsenal. But, you know, for me, it's a difficult situation to handle as a manager, isn't it? Because what do you do with a player like Perisic, with a problem like Perisic? He's a fantastic footballer, and Inter are not really in a position to be able to say, you know what, let's freeze him out and just get on with things, because realistically there's not much replacement, is there? There's not many other options. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but this whole Paris situation, it was a bit weird in my opinion, because it came out quite late in the transfer market. So obviously the link with Arsenal came on in the last week, so obviously there was no time to do such a big transfer. And now he's at the club, and he's probably going to play most of the games until the end of the season. But in my opinion, they already promised him that he's going to go in the summer, you know, after what happened in this transfer market. I don't think they're going to keep him. So, I mean, you can imagine motivation of a player that knows that he's going to leave in 6 months. You know, even if they qualify for the Champions League or they don't, it doesn't really make a difference. If he scores lots of goals, it doesn't make a difference because the biggest club know his value and how good it is. So, I mean, he's got no motivation. That is not what Inter needs at the moment. They need a player that wants to fight for the jersey, that wants to fight for the Champions League spot that is so important for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of jerseys, Inter wore special jerseys, didn't they, with their names in Chinese to celebrate the Chinese New Year. Vittorio, is that marketing genius on Inter's part?
Not sure about that, to be honest. I know that Inter fans simply went nuts when they saw it and start making jokes. And I can understand they want to increase their presence on the Chinese market, but maybe you can do it in a different way. People were saying, we're in Italy. I don't understand who's playing for my squad because I don't read Chinese. So you can see football is trying to catch up with the Premier League and be more a global sport. Yeah. But I don't think that's the right move to make. You can do it in different way. Start putting at 12:30 key matches instead of Empoli Kiev all the times. Yeah. That will be much better than putting Chinese names on the Inter shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And I've spoken about this in the past, and I think I touched on it in our launch show where I spoke about the fact that the Premier League is not really a better league than Serie A in terms of quality. All it is that it's been marketed better. The men, you know, at the top have managed to sell their brand all across the world. And as a result, the Premier League has the biggest income and the teams can spend the most money and so on and so forth. But I agree with you. I don't think that's the way to go. I get what they're trying to do. I get the idea behind it, but you don't want to piss off your own fans in the process, if that makes sense. So, yeah, that was a bit of a strange one for me. Let's move on. Napoli 3, Sampdoria 0. Napoli closed the gap on Juventus to 9 points, having dispatched of Sampdoria pretty comfortably. Sampdoria had actually beaten Ancelotti's side 3-0 at Marassi earlier on in the season. So you could say that Napoli got their revenge. But I guess the big story from the San Paolo comes from the fact that Fabio Quagliarella's goal streak came to an abrupt end. He'd already matched Gabriel Batistuta's record of scoring in 11 consecutive Serie A appearances. But had he scored on Saturday, he'd have set a new record. Now, Tommy, I know you're a Sampdoria fan. Tell us a little bit about Fabio Quagliarella, because I don't think that he gets the recognition that he deserves from those who don't watch Serie A every week, perhaps, or the overseas fans.
100%. I couldn't have said better words. To me, Fabio Quagliarella is an absolute king. He's one of the most underrated players, and I think he's one of the best Italian strikers of our generation. There was a lot of reasons why maybe he didn't do as well in his career overall as he did. You know, I don't know if you heard about the problem he had with the stalker in his Napoli days that haunted him for lots of years. And he also had to leave Napoli to go to another club, and the fans, all of these things that happened, you know, beyond football, it was probably a big reason why in the end, overall, his career didn't do as well as could have. But still, he still had a great, great career. And to me, again, he's one of the best. This record is just great for him. I mean, and I think it's the biggest representation that if you really want something, if you really put passion on something, you know, age is just a number. I mean, obviously you can't play forever, but look at him, 36 years old, and he just set a record like Batistuta. I mean, Batistuta was in his prime of his career when he did that record in 94-95. Quagliarella is in the end of his career, no one would have expected it. And I mean, beside that, last year as well, when he was 35, he set his record on goal on a season, which is 19. So, I mean, it's not just a one season, you know, wonder thing. It's just incredible, honestly. Me as a Sampdoria fan, I got emotional when he scored that goal against Udinese. It was just a penalty, yeah, but I've celebrated like a lot, much more than I would have for just a penalty.
Vittorio, what are your thoughts on Fabio Quagliarella? Do you echo the praise that Tommy's heaping on him at the moment?
The thing that Tommy didn't mention is Quagliarella scores a lot of goals, and all the goals they score is unbelievable. They're amazing. Yeah, it's that tap-in, you know, 1 meter from the box. No, he scores unbelievable goals that you watch them three times and say, wow, this is incredible. And he scores so many goals like that that you simply can't believe it. He was considered a big striker when he was younger. As Tommy was saying, he wasn't able to fulfill all the expectation, but now he's making it. He has been called even for the national squad from Mancini for the next stage. So I think that's a nice achievement. And, you know, sometimes football writes a very nice story. So I thought it would have been, before this match, I thought it would be amazing that Quagliarella would have break the record in his town, Napoli. So I was thinking even, you know, with Napoli 3-0 ahead, maybe they would allow Quagliarella to score just to beat his record. Instead, they didn't. I was a little bit surprised about that. But it would have been amazing to see Quagliarella, a Napoli fan, score the record goal in his town. Yeah, unluckily, it didn't work that way. But still, Quagliarella is an unbelievable striker.
Absolutely. By the way, guys, you know, you're both Italian speakers. I'm not. What's my pronunciation of Quagliarella like? Is it good? How many out of 10 would you give me on that?
I think it's a solid A, mate. Yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's much better than a lot of people in my office.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I agree. I mean, living in England, you know, the Italian surnames are quite difficult for them, and especially Quagliarella, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Even for Italian guys.
It's because I can speak Greek, I think, that it's... I still don't do it right, but it's better than, you know, if you don't speak another language, I think. It depends how your tongue rolls and all that. But Vittorio, what have you made of Napoli under Ancelotti? Second place was probably the best they could have hoped for, right? And, you know, have you seen a massive difference in the style of play? Sarri's gone now. What's Ancelotti been like since he's gone there, and what sort of style has he implemented?
I think Ancelotti did an amazing job, because this Napoli is not the same team of last year. I thought it's not only Jorginho that left, but a lot of the players that last year was making the difference are getting older. Martins is not making the difference as before. So it was really a tough job, and I didn't expect Ancelotti to do that well, because he didn't have amazing players. They were even a little bit tired and concerned after Sarri leaving like that. And this show you how Ancelotti is a smart guy. He changed Napoli. They're trying to play a little bit different from Sarri's system, and he was able to recover Milik, that with Sarri had a lot of problems. And now Napoli has a great striker. I think the Champions League race were never open. Juventus won the Scudetto at the beginning of the Serie A. But still, Napoli reaching the second position, that was a big surprise. And I think you have to give credit to Ancelotti, because with the team he has, he's doing an unbelievable job.
Yeah, I mean, despite Napoli running Juventus quite close last season, I know the gap was quite big in the end, but they were in the title race for a long time. I was surprised at the beginning of the season, because when people were talking about the title, everybody seemed to speak as though Inter were the biggest threat to Juventus's dominance. But like you said, you know, Ancelotti's gone there. He's done a fantastic job. And lo and behold, Napoli are in second again. So it looks like they're probably going to stay there as well. So he's done a fantastic job. Just before we move on from Napoli, is Marek Hamsik on his way to Dalian Yifang in China? Because he said something today, something along the lines of the fact that he's only still a Napoli player because there's nothing yet official, suggesting that a deal is imminent. The Slovakian has been in Naples since 2007, and he's made just short of 600 appearances for the club. Tommy, in your opinion, will he go down as a Napoli legend?
Oh, absolutely. I think he already has. I mean, if you just see that in Napoli, they made a massive street art of his face with the Maori tattoos. They only ever done that for Maradona. So, I mean, I think that says it all. I think that for the Napoli fans, Hamsik is up there. He's up there like Maradona, one of the legends of the club. And I think it's fair, because Napoli wasn't going through the best period when he joined. They just came up from the Serie B, and they were starting to build the cycle, you know, a new generation. And then, you know, there was, you know, no one knew how it was going to go. Napoli could have been that kind of team that never make it or not, but in the end they did make it, and they had great players in these years. And it was always there, you know, when Cavani, Lavezzi, and, you know, now Milik, Mertens, Insigne, through this all, Amsic always been there, you know, with the key on midfield. And, I mean, he used to play a bit different than now. He used to play more forward. That's why he used to score a lot of goals, and now not so much anymore because he's kind of covered his CDM position, but he's been always there. I mean, even the last game against Sampdoria, I think he was one of the best on the pitch. His first touch was unbelievable. Like, the way he managed the midfield was great. It took off the pressure of Sampdoria. So definitely, he's definitely a legend for Napoli fans, and I mean, I could say fairly so.
Vittorio, how highly do you rate Marek Hamšík, and how would you assess his time at Napoli if he is, of course, like we're led to believe, off and saying goodbye to Serie A?
I agree with what Tommy was saying. I mean, he's going to be a legend for Napoli for what he did for this club. But let me tell, I'm a little bit surprised of this happening. Transfer market window is closed in Italy, so Napoli is letting Hamšík go away. It's true that he wasn't playing that much this season. He's not the football player we were used to see a couple of years ago. But still, as Tommy was playing, he played well against Sampdoria. He's still very useful. He's still the captain, the leader of this team. And let him go now, with the transfer window closed. Ancelotti already said, we won't get a replacement. But, well, it's obvious. You can get only a free agent now. And if someone is without a contract now, then there's something wrong there. And so already Napoli is not as strong as last year. Juventus is far away. If I was De Laurentiis, I would say, look, wait the end of the season and then I'll let you go with no problem. Or you have to tell me in January where I could find a replacement. I don't like this move. I don't think it's smart enough. And on the same thing, if you're Hamšík, you said no to Juventus and to Real Madrid a couple of years ago when you were a top player and could make a difference. Why leave now that you're 32 and you know that you're going just on China to get more money, not to win trophy, etc.? Couldn't you stay here in Napoli? Yeah, you're not playing all the matches. You're often on the bench, but you're still the idol of all those fans. You're still the captain, the leader.
A bit like Francesco Totti was, isn't it? You know, Francesco Totti didn't play all the games at the end, but he was still a Roma icon. So Hamšík could have had that same status, couldn't he, if he had stayed?
Or if he did absolutely. And why, you know, now you have to move all your family to China. Why do it now? I mean, how long are you going to play? Other 2 years? Can't you stay with Napoli? I don't think Napoli will not renew your contract. So, honestly, I don't understand this move.
Okay, interesting. Interesting stuff. Now, let's move on to Roma-Milan. Ended 1-1. Piontek opened the scoring on 26 minutes and Zaniolo levelled things after 46 minutes. Gianluigi Donnarumma's heroics in Rome earned Gattuso's side a point in the Eternal City. Piontek, you know, signed from Genoa for a fee believed to be in the region of, I think, about 35 million euros just a couple of weeks ago now. But he scored 14 goals in his 21 Serie A appearances this season. Tommy, is that money well spent? How good a player is this guy?
I think it's a very, very good deal that Milan did. Because I was a bit unsure about Piontek in the beginning of the season as well, because he did score a lot of goals. But a lot of them maybe happened, you know, with smaller teams, so maybe with easier goal. That's what people were saying in the beginning, and I admitted that I was one of them. But then as the season went, he was keep scoring. And I mean, some people say, you know, this goal was easy to score. But yeah, he was there, you know. He did maybe the movement before to run away from the defender and be in that position, you know. So it's not just there. So I think he's a great striker. It's that kind of striker that reminds me of a bit of Inzaghi, right? So that kind of striker that he's great at the movement to lose the defenders and just be there with a header or with a tapping or whatever and just score goals, which is what Milan needs now. And I think they did a great deal to get it now in January, because if he stayed for in general the whole season and maybe end up the season with 20 plus goals, you know, in the whole summer, a lot of other teams would have put their eyes on him and maybe they would have made higher bids. So I think 35 mils with nowadays prices is a very, very, very good deal for Milan. And I mean, he showed in his first few games that he is what Milan needs at the moment.
Vittorio, is he an upgrade on Gonzalo Higuain?
I think we have to still remember that Higuain is probably a better player, and we saw it this weekend with Chelsea. The problem is, did Higuain wanted to play for AC Milan? Did Higuain wanted to shine in that team? No. And in this type of football, the mental aspect is fundamental. And you can see that Higuain didn't want to stay there, and the first chance left. While Piątek came to Milan to prove that he's a player that can play with big clubs like AC Milan, and he's doing it. Now, I don't know if 35 mil is right. Now he's working, but he still have to do a full season with a big club and prove it. He's attacking the space really well. I think against Roma, Fazio made a terrible mistake, but Piątek was there ready to take it, and that's what striker has to do. So we have to see in the long run if he's that type of striker. But I think, even though Higuain, I believe, is a better player, I think Piątek is the right move for Milan because he wants to play. He wants to prove to be a good striker.
Absolutely. And while he's becoming a fan favourite amongst the Rossoneri supporters, it was in fact Donnarumma, though, who probably had a bigger hand in this result. He pulled off some sensational saves at the weekend, didn't he, Tommy?
Yeah, incredible. Donnarumma is that kind of keeper that you might not hear about him in the news for a few weeks, and then he would just come out with a crazy performance. I mean, you know, everyone agrees that his talent is incredible. You know, there was a lot of talk about him in the media, you know, when they had to renew his contract and the things with his agent. But I think it's proving that, you know, he actually is as good as people think he is. And I mean, if he keeps going along this line, he will definitely become one of the best keepers in the world. I mean, obviously, still quite early, you know. But yeah, the game against Roma was incredible. I remember now, especially the save, the double save he did with the header of Patrick Schick, and then Dzeko with the tap-in, but many more. And it was very unfortunate on the goal that they conceded because it was, I believe it was Musacchio that basically attempt to do an own goal, and he saved that as well, and then the ball just went on Zaniolo, so there was literally nothing could do about it. But yeah, great performance, and I mean, that's exactly what Milan needs now. I mean, a great keeper that will save the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Vittorio, is there a feeling in Italy that this kid, I should say, is good enough to be Italy's number one for years to come? Is there that excitement around him? Because I know when he first broke into the team here in the UK, there was lots of talk about this young kid coming in at AC Milan and how good he was. For me, he stagnated a little bit, but you know, he showed at the weekend that he has got that in his locker, that he's a fantastic goalkeeper. Do you believe that he can go on to great things?
He can if he keeps improving. I think the biggest aspect of Donnarumma is that his size are unbelievable for that age. So he's really good one against one. He's good to cover the goal. But if you take away the body, he has to improve technically. You saw that he struggles when striker strikes from long distance because his position of his feet is not perfect. He has to work on those things. Sometimes he struggles to block the ball. Again, his hands are not perfect. He has to work on that. Let's not forget that he's really, really young. So he has to improve, and he has a lot of time to do it. So if he does that, then he's going to be probably one of the best goalkeeper ever. But he has to keep doing it and doesn't have to believe that if he's starting with AC Milan, he's already a great goalkeeper. Everybody can improve. And Buffon is an example. He keeps improving, even if he's not young. He still works on his skills. So that must be his example. And I do believe that if he works on his weaknesses, he can become a very good goalkeeper.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Roma have done well, haven't they, to battle their way back into the Champions League race, because they didn't start the season too well. And in terms of the battle for fourth place, this was a huge game, wasn't it? There's now only 4 points between fourth and ninth. I'm not saying that I think Torino are in the race, and you could probably argue that a fourth place finish would even be a little bit beyond Sampdoria too. But that just illustrates what an exciting race we have on our hands. How do you guys see it unfolding? Starting with you, Tommy, who do you think is going to make the Champions League? And, you know, basically, who do you think is going to do it?
Oh, yeah, as you said, it's a great, great battle. And, I mean, that is great because the thing that people say about the Serie A is that there's not much battle who's going to win. And, you know, Juventus won it for the past 7 years. But on the other hand, we have a great battle from the third position because, as you said, from the fourth to the tenth, there's only a few points. Me as a Sampdoria fan, which is Ryan Monge, I'm very hopeful that we will get to the Europa League. But as you said, I don't see us getting to the fourth place, just like Atalanta. In my opinion, Inter will stay third, and the fourth place is going to be a great, interesting battle between Milan, Roma, and Lazio. Really. Even though Atalanta is doing so well, I don't see them keep going as well. But they'll probably be up there and definitely qualify for the Europa League. Who do I see getting fourth between Milan, Roma and Lazio? I think Lazio has the better squad among all of these. I think Immobile is the best striker among all these three. With Luis Alberto, he had a bit of problems. But if he keep going, and Milinkovic-Savic as well, he had some problems this season. It wasn't the same player that we saw last year. But if they can find, you know, the right track in these last few months, they can definitely aim to the fourth place. I think Milan will keep the fourth place in the end. And Lazio fifth, Roma sixth, seventh, Atalanta, and us, unfortunately, eighth. But, I mean, it's still early. I mean, it's still fantasy football, you know.
Of course, there's plenty of football to be played. Vittorio, your thoughts on the race for the Champions League?
I think this year it's even more interesting than in the past because I think Torino is out, but I wouldn't count out Fiorentina, Sampdoria. These two teams signed good players this winter. Muriel changed Fiorentina. Gabbiadini went to Sampdoria, and I thought that's a great signing for them. So I think they could be able to fight till the end of the season. Now we are just in February, so the season is still very, very long, and a lot of things can happen. But I think it's really interesting because, as I was saying before, Inter is not playing great. Milan and Roma are struggling a little bit. Same thing for Lazio. Atalanta is playing amazing football, but will it be able to carry on till June, May, end of the season? We don't know. Sampdoria with Quagliarella can do everything. And Fiorentina has those two young strikers, Chiesa and Simeone, with Muriel behind. You know, they're very dangerous. Everything can happen. It's really very open. Lazio is the only team in Italy on three competition, so that they can pay that thing. Roma can play bad all season long. Milan, if they find out the right solution, who knows? I mean, I think it's going to be decided in the last weeks.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to go right down to the wire, this one. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that, and I'm sure we'll discuss it in future shows. In other news, talking about Roma, they've been given the green light to go ahead and build a new stadium. Now, Tommy, is it about time that the Serie A clubs had safer stadiums, and do you expect more of the big clubs to follow suit in the coming years?
Hopefully, yeah, definitely. I think it's a great thing for teams, for clubs to own their own stadium because we know and we see in the Premier League that it can be a great business for them. And I mean, in the end of the day, football teams are companies, and especially now with the prices of the transfer market going up and up, teams need to make money. And having a stadium is a great way to do it, and it's a great way to engage fans as well. If you see, I mean, you're an Arsenal fan, so you know the Emirates, it's a great stadium, right? And if you go, it's just a great atmosphere, and you feel like you belong to something related to your club. So I really hope that a lot of other clubs will do it. Unfortunately, as I always say, Italy, I think Italy is about 10 years behind. United Kingdom and a lot of other countries, so it always takes more time for Italy to arrive. But yeah, for Roma, they've been talking about it for years and years, and now they finally got the green light. It's a great step ahead, and I definitely hope that a lot of other teams will follow. For my team as well, Sampdoria, they've been talking about it. We haven't got the green light yet, but the project is there to make an arena by the sea, which is a great area where I'm sure people will absolutely love it. So yeah, we'll see.
Vittorio, as a Lazio man, will you be glad to see the back of Roma?
Well, first thing, they received the green light like three times in the last 4 years. So
yeah.
I'm still not sure they're going to be able to make it. Second point is Udinese have their property stadium. And do you see where Udinese is? The stadium, your stadium doesn't make the difference, especially if it's going to be built outside Roma. Fans are going to struggle to go there every time, especially when there's not football. So don't think that the stadium will change everything. Udinese, even Atalanta has his own stadium. Sassuolo has his own stadium. They're not fighting for the Champions League. So what does it tell you? That it's not only that that makes the difference. We can talk about watching better the match, and that's absolutely true. In Italy, the stadiums are old and creepy. You won't bring your family there to watch a match because it's terrible. So on that side, I'm totally on for new stadium. But don't think because new stadium bring cost, and it's so not only the match, the day match cost. Cost will increase and will be for all the weeks. So you have to have a stadium that works every day. And so the Arsenal stadium works because he's in the center of London. If you do the stadium at Tivoli, it's not going to be the same. So we have to see what goes on. But obviously, it's a step forward, and we hope that all the clubs build their own stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. And from my point of view as someone, you know, who has watched Serie A all his life pretty much from overseas, one of the things that people always say to me when they talk about it is they always point out the fact that there's empty stadiums. Now, when you look at, for example, the Olimpico, it's a huge stadium, isn't it? You're not going to fill that up every week for your, you know, your standard game, maybe against Sassuolo. I doubt very much that Lazio or Roma would fill that up for a game like that. And so it looks empty, doesn't it? Maybe it's better if these clubs kind of do what Juventus done, in the sense that, you know, the stadium is not the biggest when you compare it to some of the others around Europe, but it looks full and it does its job. And you know, that they it's built for the amount of supporters that they're expecting, as opposed to having these huge grounds that look empty week in, week out. So from my point of view, I think that will make the league a little bit more marketable as well, if the stadiums look fuller, newer. And it's all to do with branding, isn't it? It's part of the club's brand at the end of the day. And I think that's where Serie A maybe has fallen a little bit behind the Premier League, certainly. Not because the football's not good. It's purely down to marketing. So fingers crossed that a lot more clubs can do that and you know, get things rolling, and you'll see a bit of a revamp of the Italian game, I suppose.
Yeah, I think let's not forget that the Stadio Olimpico, the Roma Stadium, has been improved for Italy 90. And I think the attendance could be 85,000. And as far as I recall, it never happened in the last years or so that it has been all sold out. Lazio has an average of 35,000, Roma 40. So you see, it's half empty. So I totally agree that it should be like Juventus, that it's a smaller stadium, but it's always packed. And that, otherwise, you have to do with Udinese, that has the seats that are of different colors. So on TV, it looks like it's full, but it's always empty.
Because I think that's a bit ridiculous, to be fair.
Yeah, that looks awful.
No one goes to watch Udinese, so they have the seats yellow, orange, red. And people, if you look on the TV, you feel, wow, it's full. No, it's empty. Trust me.
And the thing is, if they wanted to make it look like it was full, I mean, I haven't seen an orange person before or a yellow person. Have you? I mean, it's all a bit silly, isn't it? Guys, we're coming towards the end of the show now, so I'm going to go to some of our listener questions that have been coming through on Twitter throughout the day. I know we kind of answered this one already, but Alan Boyd has sent this question in. I'm going to put this to you, Tommy, because you are a Samp fan. He says, with the form in which King Quagliarella is in, what do you make of Sampdoria's chances of finishing in the top six come the end of the season. So out of 10, how do you rate Samp's chances of qualifying for the Europa League?
Honestly, for as much as I would love to, I don't have many hopes or some sort of ending in the top six for the simple reason, because Gianpaolo historically with his teams, so both Sampdoria but even Empoli and Cagliari before, he always struggled in the end of the season. He always starts very well and he struggles at the end of the season. I don't know what it is. It might be something to do with the way they prepare the footballer, like physically or mentally. But they, like last year, for example, we were sixth for basically the whole season. The last 2 months, we lost 80% of the games and we ended up 10th. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really hopeful that this is not going to be the case this year, but I think it will.
Fair enough. The next question comes in from Ahmed. I'm going to put this one to you, Vittorio. He watched Roma Milan the other night. He admits that he doesn't watch much Serie A football. He hasn't watched a great deal for a long time. But he thinks that Milan need to improve. I think we can all agree on that. And he asks him, what areas do you guys think that the Milan squad needs to improve? So, you know, if we're talking about positionally, looking at Milan, what areas scream out to you and do you think that they need to improve on sooner rather than later?
Well, I think with Piatek, they fix the attack in a certain way. I think the midfield is quite weak. They don't have talented player, or at least players that are playing as expected there. They bought Biglia that hope that could fix that problem. It didn't work out. Now he's injured. He's coming back. I think the quality of the players in midfield is not that great. It's not the normal Milan type of quality. So that's where he's struggling. I'm not sure it's only fault of the player. I never saw Gattuso play a smart football similar to Sarri. He's more defensive mind coach and then trying counter-attack. So I don't know if it's related to Gattuso's mindset, but I think that Milan should improve midfield and have more quality players there.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Right, that brings us to the end of this edition. We're running out of time. It's been fantastic, guys. Thank you so much. Starting with you, Tommy, do you want to let our listeners know how they can follow you on social media and a little bit about what you're doing now so they can keep up with your antics?
Yeah, sure. So, you can find me on Instagram at Tommy Mila, so Tommy and then M-I-L-A, Tommy Mila, or on Twitter on my username that is Tommy90min. For all my work, just you can follow 90min on all the social medias. We create content daily, video content, written content about football international in general, so Premier League, but also Serie A, La Liga and Bundesliga.
Brilliant. Vittorio, do you want to let our listeners know how they can follow you and what work you're doing at the moment and how they can keep up with that?
No, I'm fine, thank you. No, joking. Well, if you have nothing else to do, then you can follow me on Twitter at Vittorio Campa. Or otherwise, if you want to know everything about Lazio, there is my podcast, Lazio Lounge. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spreaker and follow all the latest about Lazio.
Brilliant stuff. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Simply Serie A. You can follow me at Harry Simeu. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes if that's where you're listening from. We also have a YouTube channel which you can subscribe to, and this show is available on SoundCloud and Spotify. We'll be back next week with another review show. Until then, take care.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.